He's the leader of not just a band. He says he even says we're not so much a band as we are a family, and actually a leader that God has risen up of what he calls a faith community or a church. It's from Northern Ireland, and a group of people came together just looking for just a place that they could come and just worship God together and just praise God together and be together and grow in their relationship with God together, and it grew. And now, this band called Rend Collective is, man, they're doing tours all over the United States, all over Europe, and selling out stadiums. I mean, just God's doing amazing things through them. And this is their third album that God has used them to put out in just a few years. Today is not about Rend Collective. It's not about a band. It's not about a party. It's about joy. And did you catch that Gareth said that seriousness is not a fruit of the Spirit? But what is? Joy. Joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit. There's nothing wrong with being serious. There's nothing wrong. I mean, you know, I'm not going to get up here and dress like a clown or anything else, you know, to prove to you that seriousness is not a fruit of the Spirit, right? I could just, it's not the point of today. The point of today is that joy can and should be present in all of our lives. If we call ourselves, again, a follower of Jesus Christ, if I say, yes, Jesus is who he says he is. He took on my sin. He took on your sin. He took on the sin of the whole world when he got put upon that cross. He died. He got put in a tomb, a borrowed grave. And God raised him from the dead on the third day. And I'm going to follow him all of mine. I'm going to give my life to him. That's a follower of Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, joy should be in our lives. It should be in our hearts. And I understand, you know, sometimes there's things that can get, that can sidetrack us, right? That can sidetrack us from the things that we're talking about. Real quick, I want to go back over, okay? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I'm going to back up here so everybody can see it. Say it with me, all right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's what? No law. There is no law. Thank you for just, you know, amusing me. You know, I would challenge you, though. Write down Galatians 5, 22 and 23 in your Bible. Write it down, underline it, highlight it, do whatever you got to do. And I would challenge you, as we're going through the fruit of the Spirit, memorize them. Memorize them. Because, you know, especially when we're going through some maybe some harder times, boy, it's a good thing to have Scripture tucked away in our hearts and our minds. And don't just try to memorize it where you can verbally say it. That's a good thing. But you know what's even better? Meditate on it. Just spend time in quiet thinking about that verse and asking God, would you help? Would you put those things in my life? He says, I will. I'm giving them to you. Would you help me to live them out? Fruit of the Spirit. Today is joy. You know, we can get distracted, right? Like the first time I saw that video, I didn't find that video. Somebody showed that video to me and I thought, man, I love that. But you know, the first time I saw the video, you know what? I got distracted in it. I don't know. You don't have to raise your hand or anything, but who else? All they could think of for the little bit was, who's going to clean up all that stuff that they set up? No, I mean, okay, some of you are like, what? No, I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about the party they were at. Anyway, I'm just going to be honest with you. The first time I saw it, and I got distracted, right? I was missing the point of that whole video because I'm thinking, oh, man. Right? I got distracted. Maybe I was the only one ever in life to get distracted like that, but I got distracted. And I'm just here to say today, you know, we can get distracted. We know, okay, God, you say the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Faith, gentleness, and self-control. Against those things, there is no law. That's awesome. But God, I got a lot of stuff going on in my life. I want to be happy. And God says, wait a minute. Like I said, I'm going to give you joy. Happiness is not part of the fruit of the Spirit. When happiness is a feeling. I mean, again, Gareth mentioned it in that video. happiness is caused by outside circumstances. Let me read you another definition of joy. Happiness is caused by things that happen around me, and circumstances will mar it, right? When stuff happens in your day, can your day, your happiness get marred? Can it get messed up? Can it get wrangled? If you were here last week, when somebody hits you on the thumb with a hammer, can your happiness get deterred? Yes. Well, circumstances will mar it, but joy flows right on through trouble. Joy flows on through the dark. Joy flows in the night as well as in the day. Joy flows all through persecution and opposition. It is an unceasing fountain bubbling up in the heart, a secret spring the world can't see and doesn't know anything about. Let me read that part again. Joy is a secret spring the world can't see and doesn't know anything about. The Lord gives his people perpetual joy when they walk in obedience to him. So, joy. I mean, I hope that brings some encouragement. That means that, you know what? Man, if I show up someplace and there's a party going on like that, boy, joy is pretty, it can well up within me. But joy, since it's a supernatural gift, since joy is something that is not just a face that I put on, it's not just a feeling I have, it's something that wells up from deep within me. If it's set in my heart, and if I practice it like God's word tells us to in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Then you know what? I don't have to get sidetracked maybe as much. Yeah, maybe I'll get sidetracked still. But I can ask God to bring me back. You know what? I don't have to worry about thinking, okay, in order to be spiritual, I have to be serious. Okay? Story of a pastor that was, he and his wife were leading a small group and a small group Bible study, all right? And they were going about their business, and this group was wonderful. But man, the pastor and his wife walked away exhausted every Tuesday night. Because every Tuesday night they had this wonderful Bible study prepared, and they knew the formula. And the formula was, you come, you show up, and you talk for about 5 minutes, but then you start Bible study. And once you start Bible study, you do Bible study for 55 minutes. And then after 55 minutes, you pray, you say amen, and then you can go back to talking about whatever you want to talk about, and you can laugh, and you can do whatever. But in that 55 minutes, you know, you stay on topic. And so they just found themselves exhausted because in the 55 minutes that was supposed to be Bible study time, boy, there's all kinds of stuff that came up. People were talking about speed traps on the highway. People were talking about samurai swords. People were talking about the latest thing their kid threw up. You know, like it was just, there was all kinds of stuff being talked about. I'm telling you, being a parent now, it's just going to come up in conversation, that kind of thing, right? Anyway, and they go away exhausted until God showed them something. God showed him, you know what? Studying my word and honoring me and loving me and seeking me with your fellow believers and followers of Christ, there's not a formula to that. If I really want you to do life together, like what we say our life groups do at Southwinds Church, if I want you to do life together, then part of life is getting caught in a speed trap on the highway. Part of life is the junk that you go through sometimes with kids. Part of life is being excited about the newest, coolest, latest copy samurai sword or whatever it was. And then when I saw this video and I just heard that phrase, seriousness is not a fruit of the Spirit, joy is. Man, we can get distracted by the way we think things should go. We can get distracted by the things that just pop up in our life. We can just get distracted and miss the joy that God has in store for us. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured a cross and despised the shame and sat down at the right hand of God's throne. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and lose heart. So, writer of Hebrews, he's saying, okay guys, bunch of people that have gone before, bunch of people around us that can help us with this thing. We have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares, the stuff that can just drag us down, leave it behind. Jesus is taking care of it. Practice actually like letting go of it. Sometimes the guilt that I feel from maybe an action that I took, it's like selfishly I want to keep it there because I should feel guilty. He says, man, anything that drags you down, anything that weighs you down, let it go. That stuff can ensnare you. If you have trouble with the stuff that you look at on a computer, if you have trouble with the things that are on the TV, if you have whatever it is, man, ask God to get rid of it. You actually stop it. Let it go. Do away with that stuff. The sin that so easily ensnares us. Run with endurance the race that lies before us. Okay, so we're in some kind of race. We're supposed to be doing something. Okay, so my deal is, okay, so maybe if I'm a follower of Jesus, I need to be following Jesus, and I need to do that with everything that I am every day of my life. And he says, run the sprint that lies before us. It's a short race. Nope. He says, run with endurance. Run with endurance. It's something that I never physically did really well, is run with endurance. But as far as a relationship with Jesus, I pray that we are all learning how to do it well. That every day, day in and day out, I don't know when my last day will be. You don't know when your last day will be. But we're in a race to honor God with everything that we are, to bring other people along with us, to show them the joy that comes from following Jesus and say it's available to you too. And run it with endurance because we don't know how long this race is. And sometimes it feels like it's taking forever. And sometimes you think, man, if I could just run this race forever, that would be awesome. Run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter, or the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured a cross. If we stopped right there and there was no more to that verse, the joy that lay before him was the cross. Does the cross seem like a joyful experience? It does not. But what's the joy that Jesus could look forward to? He endured the cross. Keep reading. Endured a cross and despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. You see, the joy was in the eternal outlook of what was coming. The joy was in Jesus was fulfilling exactly what God had appointed him to do, his heavenly Father. The joy was in knowing that, God, if I fulfill your plans for me, I please you. I obey you. It's the only way that joy could be in Jesus as he went through the cross. It's the only way that Jesus could endure the cross. You know, Southwinds, as followers of Jesus, it's good news. This world is not our home. It's good news that one day, not only can we experience the joy here that seems to run parallel with sorrow, right? Like, as soon as there's joy in our heart, there's some sort of sorrow that tries to creep in. One day, if we're a follower of Christ, if we're a follower of Jesus, if we have asked him to save us from our sin and follow him with everything that we are, one day when I breathe my last breath and you breathe your last breath, one day we'll be with him forever in eternity in heaven, where it will only be joy. Good news is that one of the things that will help us keep that attitude of joy, one of the things that will help us practice, have that spiritual discipline of joy, is an eternal perspective. To know this world is not my home. Man, I love my house. I love where we live. I love my life right now. But I know circumstances can change in a heartbeat. Let me read you about it. Tell you a story about a guy named Robert Reed, who is famous for saying, "I have everything I need for joy." Let me just tell you about Robert. Robert, his hands are twisted and his feet are useless. He can't bathe himself, he can't feed himself, he can't brush his teeth, comb his hair, or put on his underwear. His shirts are held together by strips of Velcro. His speech drags like a worn-out audio cassette, if you know what an audio cassette is. Robert has cerebral palsy. The disease keeps him from driving a car, riding a bike, and going for a walk, but it didn't keep him from graduating from high school or attending a university, from which he graduated with a degree in Latin. Having cerebral palsy didn't keep him from teaching at a St. Louis junior college or from venturing overseas on 5 different mission trips, or what we might call at Southwind's go team trips, going from some place to another place to take the good news of Jesus to people that don't yet have it. Robert's disease didn't prevent him from becoming a missionary in Portugal, somebody that lived in a different place than where you grew up, to take the good news of Jesus to people who don't yet have it. It didn't keep him from being a missionary in Portugal. He moved to Lisbon alone in 1972. There he rented a hotel room and began studying Portuguese. He found a restaurant owner who would feed him after the rush hour, and a tutor who would instruct him in the language. Then he stationed himself daily in a park where he distributed brochures about Jesus Christ. Within 6 years, he led 70 people to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, one of whom became his wife, Rosa. Again, Robert was famous for saying this little phrase. This is a testimony of someone who saw Robert speak. I heard Robert speak recently. I watched other men carry him in his wheelchair onto the platform. I watched them lay a Bible in his lap. I watched his stiff fingers force open the pages. And I watched people in the audience wipe away tears of admiration from their faces. Robert could have asked for sympathy or pity, but he did just the opposite. He held his bent hand up in the air and boasted, "I have everything I need for joy." I got a feeling that everything that he needed, in fact, I know everything that he needed, was not based on his circumstances. It wasn't based on his lot in life. It had everything to do with what God had placed within his heart, with what God had placed within the center of Robert, and that was God's very own Holy Spirit. Joy. Seriousness is not a fruit of the Spirit, but joy is. Joy, the good news is, doesn't have to be affected by circumstances. The good news is, joy can be present 100% of the time. The good news is, God gives us the ability to have an eternal perspective. To know, man, whatever comes my way today, tomorrow, the rest of my life, this is not my home, but God has given me a place in his kingdom. Joy is something that can well up within us, that can bubble over from us. You know, one of these days, maybe, when we're really not so excited about the white stuff that's going on for the next 12 months or however long it stays here with us, it feels like, right? When we're not so excited about that, and man, again, I think we all go through this stuff, right? The days are going to start getting shorter, right? The temperatures are going to start to plummet. And I'm going to end this, you know, I'm not going to talk about it much more because I want you to remember joy. On those days, Man, take a cue from either your kids or from kids in the community. Take a cue. Maybe you can go watch that video right there on YouTube. Take a cue. Man, get in your snowsuit. Get out there and make a snow angel. Better yet, get out there, and when your neighbor comes home, pelt him with a snowball. No, not really, unless you really know your neighbor really well, okay? But just remember, man, sometimes I think we could take ourselves a little too seriously, and we need to remember that God said part of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Man, as we're taking inventory this week, as we go and we get alone with God, which I pray and hope that we all do, that we have those times that it doesn't matter how early you got to get up or how late you got to go to bed. Now, if you got to go to bed late, don't close your eyes when you do this. But get alone with God and ask Him to do an inventory of your heart. Get alone with God. Say, God, do people see joy in me? And God, if people don't see joy in me, why don't they see joy in me? Am I too distracted by my circumstances? Am I too distracted by always looking at the mess that somebody's going to have to clean up after that really fun little party that they're having? Do I get distracted? Or God, have I let bitterness get in me? Have I let what is stealing the joy that is, you say is supposed to be welling up within me if I call myself a follower of yours? And ask Him for that eternal perspective. Ask Him for that joy that wells up within us. He's given it to you. If you're a follower of His, He's given it to you. He says, this is the fruit of the Spirit, not this can be the fruit of the Spirit. This is the fruit of the Spirit, joy. Seriousness is not a fruit of the Spirit, but joy is. So let's remember that as we go throughout our week this week, all right?